Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
A bad ending to an otherwise fruitful and good life. I want to talk about King Asa in this message, and it could be entitled The Curse of a Divided Heart. Now, here's a man who was put in the place of being the king of Judah. I believe his reign was 15 years, and who started off absolutely, if you will, on fire for the Lord. The Bible tells us of King Asa, king of Judah, that his heart was perfect all his days, that is, up to the point or after what we will enumerate here that we see in the 14th chapter of the book of 2 Chronicles. Now, Asa's story spans three chapters, 2 Chronicles chapter 14 through 16, and you'll notice immediately upon becoming king that Asa commanded that the people do that which was right in the eyes of God, verse 2 there in the beginning of this segment of scripture on Asa's reign, 2 Chronicles 14, you see there in verse 2, that he commends or commands the people to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. Also in verse 3, that all idolatrous altars be torn down. So he began to root out, to tear down, to destroy that which was an offense to the Lord, so that he could then begin to build and to plant the things that are glorifying to God. That's according to Jeremiah 1:10. That's a fascinating scripture on the way God works, not only in our individual lives, but in His kingdom and in nations. Notice Jeremiah 1:10. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, he told Jeremiah, to root out, to do these things, root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, and to build, and to plant. Notice first, there has to be the destruction and the removal of those things that offend God, and then the building in of the things that glorify God. That is a fascinating revelation on the way God works in our lives. And let me ask you something, friend, from the onset here. Are there things that God wants to see rooted out of, pulled down, destroyed, thrown down, and removed, eradicated from your life, so that He could now begin to build and to plant the things that do belong in your life that glorify Him? So we see this going on, this absolute reform under Judah's reign. Now, he had inherited from the previous kings an idolatrous, lukewarm people, and so he began to command them to do what's right in God's eyes, to tear down all idolatrous altars, verse 2 and 3 of 2 Chronicles 14. Then that commanded that the people should seek the Lord. Then he, verse 4, and then he removed the idol altars from all the cities in Judah. And the scripture says that the kingdom was quiet before him. See, doing that which is right in the eyes of the Lord, not just knowing it or thinking or intending to do it, but literally laying an axe to the root and doing that which is right in the eyes of the Lord, always brings a peace, a rest, a blessed rest that is otherwise absolutely going to be absent from our lives. Remember Proverbs 1 verse 33, which is a verse that's very much eradicated and helped eradicate all fear from my life personally, as it crystallized in me, if you will, as I internalized it in faith. It says, "Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. Quiet from even the fear of evil. Interesting. Not just quiet from evil, but quiet from even the fear of it. And that's the thing that love, as we're made one with the Lord more and more, will do. It will cast out all fear. But God absolutely requires your heartfelt involvement in the relationship that you have with Him. So after these things were rooted out and the worship of God began to be established in the order of the word of the Lord, there was quiet before the people in the land of Judah. They rested in peace. So then they proceeded to build fenced cities after they had sought the Lord and put Him first, so the land could be at rest, at peace, and not fear the enemy. That's what that represents, walled and fenced cities. It involved the people to build fenced, walled, protected cities. And it says here in verse 7, 2 Chronicles 14:7, it says, therefore he, Asa, said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. That's the key right there. Seeking first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. That's an action word, to seek the Lord and His strength, to seek His face continually. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11. I want to highly recommend that you write that verse on an index card and memorize it immediately, my friend. So they sought the Lord. We have sought Him, and He hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. That's what we see. When we seek first the kingdom of God, there will be a building, there will be an adding to in our lives, there will be a prosperity that glorifies God. But we must seek the Lord our God and put Him first in all things. Notice verse 8. We also see that in the Reformation that was pioneered by King Asa, there he built a great military. You know, we live in a fallen world. A lot of people want to say, let's just have peace and not war. Well, there are some times when war cannot be evaded in a fallen world where enemies would attack a nation or a people. And that's why God sets up secular, that's why He's ordained secular government to punish the evildoers, both foreign and domestic. So 2 Chronicles 15:17, the next chapter, the second of the three chapters, let's take a look at what God says in verse 17 of 2 Chronicles 15. He says, but the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. Now, it seems to me that Asa didn't have the authority or the reign over Israel, but over Judah during this time of the divided kingdom, the northern and southern kingdoms of Israel. You had Israel and you had Judah, and Asa was not the king over Israel. He was the king over the kingdom of Judah. And the heart of Asa, notice, was perfect all his days. Now, notice verse 2 of the 15th chapter of 2 Chronicles. This is a verse that we often reference, and we should. And now we're seeing what's around it. There's another verse in the next chapter that we often reference and love, and it stands alone. But we're going to see more of the context of these verses. Notice verse 2, 2 Chronicles 15. And he went out to meet Asa, that is, one of the seers, Azariah. The Spirit of God came upon Azariah. Now, notice, this is still when Asa was in a very teachable posture of heart. We must get into a humility, be brought into it by God, yielding fully, beloved saints, and remain there. Jesus said, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Now, we're going to notice through this whole story how, and we're noticing, we're talking about how Asa's life in ministry began and how it ended is tragic, which we're going to see in just a moment. Now, notice how Azariah speaks to Asa, who humbly received this word, as opposed to what we're getting ready to see in the next chapter. And this is just a big time lesson for us. The scripture says in the New Testament, whatever things were written aforetime, that's the Old Testament scriptures, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We can learn from the good and the bad of others, those around us, and especially those we see documented in Holy Scripture, the lives of people like Asa. So Azariah the seer, the Spirit of God came on him, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa. He feared no man. He wasn't intimidated, Azariah, that is, by Asa being king. He was obeying God and delivering this word to him. And he says, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if ye seek him, notice, if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Isn't it interesting that this verse is in the middle of the three, the middle chapter of the three chapters that document Asa's reign in Judah, and how God warned him after things had started off real good, and how God was pleased with Asa. God warns him through Azariah the seer to realize and remember that the Lord is with you only while you be with him. Some people want to act like God's going to keep people in his kingdom who don't want to be one with and follow and worship truly and obey the Lord. That's not going to be the case. Nobody is going into the kingdom of glory eternally who doesn't severely love God above all others. In fact, Jesus said, if you love anyone, even your wife, husband, mother, or dad, or brothers or sisters more than him, in fact, if you don't hate them in comparison, that is, to your love for me, then you're not worthy of my kingdom. And we will remember, and we see paralleled actually the seven churches of Revelation 2 and 3 that Jesus addressed in all of these things here in this passage, is this segment of scripture, 2 Chronicles chapter 14 through 16, which I want to highly recommend that you unearth and read over, study, and learn from these lessons, amen, and these words to Asa, and the good and bad things that he did. And so we see that the first of the seven churches, they had did many good things. Jesus brings out first how they had discerned false apostles, etc., and yet they had left their first love, and Jesus was calling them to repent and return to him as first love. Now, if Jesus is calling them to repent, that means they were in danger of hellfire. God will have no idolaters in his eternal kingdom. He says his name is Jealous. You shall have no other gods before me. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, and 34, verse 14. So the Lord tells Asa and the kingdom of Judah, as he was prospering them, that he warns them that while you be with him, he will be with you. And only if you seek him, that's present tense, will he be found of you. But if, here's a severe warning and the threat, if you forsake him, he also will forsake you. Now, remember what we read of Israel in Romans chapter 11 concerning God cutting off his own people. Now, some people want to act like that's not possible. That's paramount too, and the same thing as falling away. God will cut off those who fall away, and we're going to see that right here with the life of Asa. Notice Romans 11, 20 through 22. Now, let me just say this, friends. This is how God's kingdom works. By what his word says, we must go by what his word reveals only and be people of the word of God. Doesn't matter how many times that pastor stands up and tells you that you're unconditionally, eternally secure. It doesn't matter how many years you've heard this indoctrination of this lie from hell, this heresy of eternal security, you know, put into your mind and heart and conscience. It doesn't matter how long that's gone on. This has been going on since the Garden of Eden, when Satan tempted the man of God with this very lie of the ages called once saved, always saved. He told them that they would not surely die. God says, I will cut you off. I will forsake you if you forsake me. We just read that in 2 Chronicles 15, 2. Now notice what Paul says. Because of unbelief, that is the nation of Israel, the people of God, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Now, he's talking, contrasting and talking to the Gentiles. He said, you stand by faith, but remember, the Jews were broken off. And then he says to the Gentiles, be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he spare not thee. That's a threat. That is a warning. And to close, he says, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if It's conditional. Thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be what? Cut off. Interesting. You will be cut off if you don't continue in his goodness. Notice the Bible speaks about those who forget the Lord. Do you remember those verses? Let's look at two of them swiftly here. Psalm 9:17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Psalm 9, and that's verse 17. Now also Psalm 50:22. Now listen to this one. Psalm 50:22. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. So Asa is being, and the kingdom of Judah are being warned to not forget God, and that he's only going to be with you as you're with him, and as you seek him, otherwise he will forsake you. But if you seek him, he's going to be found of you and continue to bless you. And that's the same thing for our lives, beloved, as long as we are seeking the Lord. That's why Jesus taught that we are to abide in him. That pertains to present trusting and seeking and walking with him. Perhaps someone listening once walked with the Lord, and it's by no accident that you're listening to this message, because he wants you to walk with him again before it's too late. Engage in an intimate, life-giving relationship with Christ. There is nothing good outside of Christ. And Jesus says right there in John 15 that without me, ye can do nothing. When he comes in to your life, as you humble yourself before him in repentance, true repentance, and lay down your life, resolving to be crucified with Christ and let him live in and through you, do it God's way, that is, the love of God is going to flood your heart and eradicate all the shame that sin has brought, all the guilt, all the unrest. Notice in verse 3 here, 2 Chronicles 15, we're reading in concerning Asa and the kingdom of Judah. Now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God. This is speaking of before Asa became king, and without a teaching priest and without law. And that's always what happens. It's the apostasy of those in leadership that lead the people into the ditch, the blind leading the blind. The people also have to do with it also. But many today, for example, set up before them, they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So it's a reciprocal relationship between the false teachers and a backslidden people that have a mere form of godliness, but they deny the power or the reign of Christ in their lives through the cross life, the crucified life. So he refers to how a long season had preceded Asa's reign, a long season without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law, with a false priesthood or one that was even non-existent. Then he says, but that's what led to this decline and this state of apostasy in Israel or Judah. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And that's what we see in Asa's reign from the very beginning, as we enumerated in the 14th chapter earlier in this message. In verse 5, and in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the country. When a people doesn't honor God, there's no rest. It's like a third world country is what we call it, where anywhere you go on any street, you could be mugged, you could be stabbed, shot, robbed, all of these things. Thank God we're not there in America, and hopefully never will be. And let me exhort you to obey God, beloved, to pray for those, all those in authority. Pray for them. Don't judge them. Just pray for them. 1 Timothy 2:1-3. A lot of folks running around judging. I guarantee you, and I ask them on a regular basis, those kind of people, I say, are you praying for our president? I know you're judging him, but are you praying for him? Because that's what God commands you to do. And whether he's doing his job or not, you're not going to give account for that. You're going to give account for your simple obedience to God. And God commanded you to pray for him, that we might live quiet and peaceable lives in this nation. That's God's stated will. 1 Timothy 2:1-3. Let me exhort you right here, beloved, to pray daily yourself before God and with other believers. When you're on the phone or in fellowship with them, stop for a moment and pray for the leaders of this nation. As the body of Christ prays and seeks God in repentance, obeying God in humility, so goes a nation as the people of God in that nation. Verse 6, and nation was destroyed of nation. He keeps going with the apostasy of fallen mankind where God is absent. And nation was destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex them with adversity. adversity. And now he exhorts Asa and says, "And the kingdom of Judah, be ye strong, therefore, the prophet of God says, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." I'm reminded of 2 Chronicles, this same book, I believe it's chapter 20, verse 20. And it says, "Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." Notice, believe in the Lord your God first, and so shall you be established. That's what we need. We need our lives established upon the Lord in true faith, which always obeys God fully, and we shall be established. Believe his prophets or his messengers, those who speak his word, and so shall you prosper. Now, that's been largely misused by the false prophets of our day. I have to say that, because usually when you hear that verse taught, it's taught by these scammers who are telling you to believe them, and they're not of God. The same people that say, "Touch not mine anointed," well, they're not God's anointed. God's anointed is every believer that has, because every believer has the anointing of the Holy Spirit in them. So we've got to be careful the way we field, if you will, that verse. Now, as we go toward and finish here with the latter days of this good king, Asa, let's show here in the last part of 2 Chronicles 15, the reforms and how far they actually went. Remember in verse 17, God says that the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. That is, up to that point. He brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. That's the treasures of God. Amen. The word of God. And there was no more war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. So 35 years, it looks like he reigned. Notice verse 16 before that. And also, this is how zealous Asa was. This really shows how zealous he was. And remember earlier we spoke about how Jesus said, I believe it's Matthew 10, "If you love your mother, your dad, or anyone more than you love the Lord, you're not worthy of his kingdom." That needs no explanation. He goes so far as to say, if you don't hate them, that is, in comparison for your burning love for him as the first love of your life, your creator and your redeemer, Jesus Christ, then you're not worthy of his kingdom. So notice in 2 Chronicles 15, 16, also concerning Makkah, the mother of Asa the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in the grove, and Asa cut down her idol and stomped it, if you will, and burnt it at the brook of Kidron. So Asa was zealous for the Lord, as anyone who is zealous for the Lord would do. He did, and that is to not allow evil among, or any kind of evil, no matter who was perpetrating it, including his own mother. He took her idol and destroyed it and removed her from her position. So in the first part of 2 Chronicles 16, the last of the three chapters documenting the life of Asa, how it began, and now we're going to see how it ends. Let me sum it up, the first few verses, by saying this. What happened was the kingdom of Israel, not Judah, but Israel, began to fortify a city that lay between Israel and Judah, because a lot of the people from Israel heard about this great land of Judah and all the good things God was doing, and they began to migrate to Judah. And so Asa did something sinful, and he trusted a foreign king, the Syrian king, to help him against Israel, who was preventing people from coming to Judah. And God was wroth. He was very upset by this rebellion. Even though Asa was successful in his war and mission, the ends don't justify the means. So we pick up in verse 7, "And at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa king of Judah and said unto him, Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, whom Asa paid a lot of money, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou did rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand." So we read in the 14th chapter how God had delivered the Ethiopians into the hands of Judah when they were seeking God and prospering. God gave gave them the victory over these enemies. And yet now Asa, after he allowed God to do the victories, is now buying the services of a foreign heathen king to help him in his battles, to which God was very infuriated by. So in this passage of scripture, verse 7 through 10, the end certainly did not justify the means in the Lord's eyes. So the Lord sent this prophet Hanani to speak to King Asa of Judah. Hanani boldly accused the king of acting foolishly. Had not the Lord, he says, delivered you in Judah from the Ethiopians? Was not God continually looking for men through whom he could show himself strong in the behalf of? See, since Asa had chosen to fight according to the flesh, God said he was going to have wars. He was going to be at complete unrest. God was going to remove his blessings. So he says here, for the eyes of the Lord, he tells him through the prophet, run to and fro. They scan the earth, throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him, wherein herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, from here forward, you shall have wars. In other words, God was removing his hand of blessing, was removing his peace and his presence and benefits from Asa and the kingdom of Judah, because they had trusted in men now. After God had wrought victories for them and brought great peace through their obedience, now they resort back to trusting in the flesh. And the Bible has a lot to say about those who trust in the flesh. Cursed is the man that trusteth in man. Jeremiah chapter 17. Also, Romans chapter 8 speaks a lot about the flesh and the spirit. So does Galatians 5. And if you're walking and living and trusting in the flesh, that is anything but God. God is going to vanquish from your life his blessings, his presence. You know, I ran into a brother recently. I love this brother. He's a dear brother. Yet his countenance had fallen since the last time I had seen him. And since I've known him, he's always been very teachable, very honest, seeks the Lord. He's filled with the Spirit. But he has, as of recently, when I did meet up with him, ran into him, you could see his countenance has fallen. The presence of God was no longer in his life. And he confided in me that he has not been seeking the Lord. And we spoke the word of God to him and prayed with him and continue to pray for him and fellowship or feed him the word. I haven't seen him since, but you know, have you been there? I certainly have, even though it might have been momentarily. That's an ugly place to be. A virgin espoused to Christ with an empty vessel, one that's not seeking God and therefore not full of the presence and the grace of God. And this is what we see happening right here, transpiring in the life of Asa and the kingdom of Judah. They went back to the flesh, and the Lord is reminding them that his eyes go to and fro throughout the whole earth to work strongly on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. You see, those who are seeking his face. Remember, seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. 1 Chronicles 16 and 11, and also chapter 28, I believe it's verse 8 or 9. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. I love that promise. As we seek the Lord, he's going to be found of us, and he's going to fill us with his spirit, his virtue, his benefits, his blessings. The Bible says, forget not all of his benefits. So Asa here in verse 10 gets so mad at this prophet because he didn't work like the word of the Lord. He was in darkness, and the light of truth spoken by this prophet that God had sent to Asa convicted him. And because he loved darkness rather than light, because his own deeds were evil, he jailed this prophet. That's what we see going on today, the persecution of the righteous. And then it says in verse 11, and behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, there we go, 39 years, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceedingly great. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to physicians. So Asa's in a condition, in a state of being backslid. First, he trusts his own money and the world to help him fight a battle he thought he needed to fight. And even though he won that battle, God rebuked him through this prophet. And here he is, diseased in his feet. Obviously, God removed his hand of blessing. So Asa is diseased in his feet. The feet represent the foundation of your life. And now he's rotten all the way or beginning at the foundation. And that's the same thing right now, friends. Anybody who's not putting God first, literally, never mind the lip service, obey God, seek God, put God first. When you wake up, up, it's time to seek the Lord. It's already set. It's already planned. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. 1 Chronicles 22:19. Put him first. Literally, some of you listening perhaps have been on this thing where you're going to get around to reading the Bible and having time of prayer holy and set apart to the Lord. And it's never happening. Why? Because you're not putting him first. That's literal. Matthew 6:33. You put him first. That is, when you get up earlier than normal and you seek the face of the Lord in his word and in holy communion of crying out to him in prayer and praise. Amen. Put him first or it's not going to happen. You will never get around to it. It just doesn't work that way. The only way it works is putting God first. Jesus rose up a great while before day and he sought his Father. Mark 1:35. So Asa here is diseased in his feet because his foundation was cursed. You know, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. If the foundations be removed, what shall the righteous do? Psalm 11:3. The foundation of Asa's life was removed from his own rebellion. He chose to build his house on a sand foundation by not putting God first. And Jesus said, only those who build on the rock, the bedrock of the Lord, which requires literal obedience, will not have a sand foundation, and they will stand and still remain and be standing with the Lord on the day of judgment. That's the end of Matthew 7. Those who don't put God first have a sand instead of a sound foundation, and they're going to be eroded. They're already eroding. Their lives are falling apart, and they are dangling over the lake of fire, the pits of eternal damnation, by a spider thread. It's only a matter of time before they are released and vanquished to burn forever as rebels against the Lord. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign, and they buried him. The chapter closes. Discourse, this documentation on Asa ends with this. And they buried him in his own sepulcher, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed, which was filled with sweet odors and diverse kinds of spices prepared by the apothecaries. And they made a very great burning for him. In other words, they burned incense as for a memorial of the life of Asa, which began good and it ended up bad. He did not seek the Lord, but he trusted in physicians. He trusted in men. And the Bible says, vain is the help of men. Now, that doesn't mean going to a doctor is a sin. Luke was a doctor. He wrote one of the Gospels. That's not a sin. Doctors aren't a sin. But to have anyone that is first in your life before the Lord is a sin. And it's a damning sin of unbelief. And it shows that you have an evil heart of unbelief. If you're trusting in the Lord first and not physicians, you're not going to follow every single thing every physician tells you blindly. Let me give you, for instance, in America, 70% of the people in America are on prescription drugs. Now, you're telling me your common sense agrees with that? I doubt it. 70% of a country on prescription drug. What does that tell you? It's a scam. It's a greed-driven scam. They're trying to get everybody they can on as many drugs as they can because they're getting kickbacks. It's all part of the greed system. Those people don't need to be on these all of these drugs. There's a lot of people right now that take mood drugs. You got to be kidding me. You claim to trust the Lord and you got your depression. You don't deal with it by repenting and letting the Lord give you a sound heart and a sound mind. Remember, he says that he gives us power, love, and a sound mind, and yet you're trying to drug your way into a sound mind. That's a cheap substitute. When a person resorts to using a drug, goes to a physician and trusts a physician like Asa instead of the Lord, and tries to get a drug to uplift their mood or whatever they're trying to alter in their disposition or their mood, they are loving and believing the world more than God and forfeiting the blessing of God for a cheap substitute. And they're manifesting their disdain against the Lord and their unbelief. And remember, Hebrews 3 talks about a evil heart of unbelief. If you've got unbelief, you're not trusting God with all your heart and leaning not to your own understanding. You're not in all your ways acknowledging him. Then you're not going to have his blessing. You're going to forfeit that blessing. And that's why you're running over to try to get some drug to do something only God can do. You're putting a Band-Aid on it, and it's much worse than that. Any born-again, presently abiding disciple of Jesus has all of the fruit of the Spirit of God in them. They have love. They have what? joy. They have peace. They have long-suffering, temperance, etc. Galatians 5:22 and 23. So the absence of the fruit of the Lord, the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, etc., is because you're not living the cross life. And most of you people that are listening to me that do this kind of stuff right here, go to church. What does that tell you? You're not hearing the original gospel. First of all, because you're not studying the word yourself in the King James Bible. Second of all, because you're patronizing a false ministry. If you were under a true ministry, you'd be exhorted to obey God and you would have the fruit of the Spirit. You wouldn't need to be running out for some drug. You see, your foundation is cursed because you're not seeking God, just like Asa's. So you're trusting in man, not God, and your life is being whisked away in the flood down the broad way that leads to eternal destruction. God gives his people power, love, and of a sound mind and a sound heart. All things that pertain unto life and godliness in this life are found in the Word of God, and that includes having a sound mind. When Jesus delivered the demoniac, that man sat at his feet, quote, in his right mind. Don't you just love it? The Word of God is so rich. That's what it says of the demoniac at Gadara. It says in Mark 5:15, and they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. I mean, this dude was wreaking havoc on that town. They couldn't bind him. He was so demonically possessed that he broke every chain that they used to chain him down, to try to stop him from the terror he was wreaking on that city and the people of it. He would run around naked and just wreak havoc. And there was a legion of demons that had possessed him, it says right here. Then they found him, what, sitting and clothed. Notice this dude was at rest. He was clothed. That represents the righteousness of the Lord in part. And notice, in his right mind. God will put you in a sound mind, your right mind. You will be sane. You won't be looking to physicians like Asa did to try to drug your way through life, to try to drug your way into having a good mood. Wow. So God blesses those, friends, as we close, who trust him, and he curses or removes his blessings from those who once trusted him and yet now have forgotten him, like Asa, who died in bad state. Asa died with a divided heart. He had a bad ending for an otherwise good life that was in obedience to the Lord. Is that how you're going to finish your race, friend? Or are you going to finish it like Paul? And we read of Paul and his words here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Don't you just love our blessed apostle Paul, our brother in Christ? I have fought a good faith, he said. I'm ready to be offered. In other words, martyred. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Asa did not keep the faith to the end. You must endure to the end to be saved, my friend. Don't let anybody fool you. That means once saved, always saved. And eternal security is a lie from hell. And these dispensational devils try to discount the words of Jesus in the Gospels because it was before his resurrection. They will do anything they can to manipulate Scripture to make their tradition, their heresy, palatable and to justify it. That is absolutely an abomination what they're doing. They are blaspheming the Lord as if Jesus' words aren't relevant to us today. Well, they don't like those words. That's why, because they're in darkness. They've refused to repent. And that's why they try to chop up the Bible like that false king, Zedekiah, I believe it was, in Jeremiah 36, who cut up the Bible, cut up the scrolls, and threw them into the fire. That's what they're trying to do. It's called penknife sacrilege, is what I call it. They want to pick and choose what they want to apply to their lives and to those they mislead. That's ridiculous. You see, they would almost have maybe a point, but they don't, because all of Christ's apostles taught the same thing throughout the whole New Testament, that you got to continue in the faith. Read the book of Hebrews. So Paul says he's ready to be offered. He says, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. You got to finish, friend. You got to finish. When Jesus saved you, that was only your entrance into the beginning of your eternal relationship with him. You didn't punch a ticket so you can go to heaven and live any way you like on earth. You got to walk with Jesus no matter what. You got to fight the good fight of faith. You got to finish your course. You got to keep the faith. And then, and only then, verse 8, henceforth, Paul said, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but also unto all them that love his appearing. See, that's somebody that is finishing his course, fighting a good fight, and keeping the faith, is looking for the appearing of Jesus. That's an earmarked truth, and purifying himself, even as Christ is pure. 1 John 3:3. When we willingly offer ourselves, beloved, as living sacrifices, Scripture commands us to do, to the Lord, He avenges us of all our enemies so that we don't have to trust in the flesh, the enemy of bad health and any other kind of enemy, you see. And that's what happened to Asa. He trusted himself and he gave money to a fleshly king to help him in a military battle. Then he trusted physicians. He wasn't trusting God. He was obviously possessed with an evil heart of unbelief. Exodus 23:22 says, "But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice," obey the Lord, "and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy," the Lord says, "unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries." God is going to take care of your enemies, whatever they be, demons, people, bad health, whatever. He will be the remedy if you'll trust him. Exodus 23:22. Notice, God, if we trust him, then he will, only then will, and as long as we trust him, only as long as we trust him, will he be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary to thine adversaries. Now, as we close, this parallels with what James spoke about with the cursed, divided heart that God wants to heal. If you got a divided heart, he's calling you to repent, to lay down your life and to be crucified with Christ. Perhaps you need to go on a fast. If you're not fasting and you name the name of Jesus, you're in disobedience. Jesus said, "When ye fast," not "if you fast." Matthew 6:16. Notice in James 1, we're going to close with this. He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials." Notice Asa had fallen into some trials after previously trusting the Lord, and now his heart had departed from the Lord. His heart was apostate. It was departed from the Lord. "Some shall depart from the faith," remember, 1 Timothy 4:1, "and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." So when you do that, as the case was with Asa, when you're departed from the Lord, you're giving heed to devils. You're listening to devils lead you out of your own sin-filled heart, as he did in his military trial and also in his trial with his sickness. He didn't turn to the Lord in these diverse or different kinds of various temptations. But we are to count it all joy in these temptations as we walk with God, knowing this, that the trying of our faith is what? Working patience. God has a reason to allow us to go through these things. He's doing a work in us. But let patience have her perfect work, that is, in you, to mature you through these sufferings and trials, that you may be perfect or mature. See, there's God's goal right there. That you may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. And if any of you do lack wisdom, ask of God. He'll give it to you freely. Trust him. Trust him. Don't be like Asa. Not the end of his life. Don't be like the end of his life. Trust God. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. We walk and we live by faith in God, not by sight, not by the world, not by men. But let him ask in faith. You got to ask in faith. Nothing wavering. Zero. Don't have a divided heart. "For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think it, that he shall receive anything of the Lord." And that's exactly what happened to Asa. He did not receive the blessing of God. A double-minded man, it ends right here, is unstable in all his ways. Let me finish by reminding you, beloved, as we close, of Psalm 103, verse 2. The glorious Lord and Savior says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." That's what David, the man after God's own heart, said of our glorious Savior. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his beautiful benefits." Let's learn from the good of Asa in the first two chapters as he walked with God in 2 Chronicles 14:15. And yet let's also learn from his rebellion against God in 2 Chronicles 16, and be unlike him in that rebellion, but trust the Lord all the way to the end, like Paul said, to finish our course and to keep the faith. God bless you, friend. Thank you for listening.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, Scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all Scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and you Your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.